It is stretching me. It is. I'm definitely at like my edges. I am doing things scared. And yet, because I have been doing things scared for a couple of years now with this podcast, scares me every time. Every time I do a solo, every time I do an interview, every time I interview on someone else's podcast, every time I press publish and know that, like, you know, what I'm sharing today and what my truth is today, like that can shift and change over time. Yet someone could listen to this years later and be judging me based on what I say right now. Or I might say the wrong thing. Or I know I've said things that could be offensive to people. And oh, there's just so many layers to it all. And feeling afraid to be seen and heard and taking up space. So hello and welcome to all of you beautiful souls tuning in today to the Heart of the Soul podcast, Earthing Nova on YouTube. My name is Amana and I am so happy that you're here. This is a space where we remember what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth, navigating the ebbs and flows of change, honoring each other's differences, and connecting about that which unites us. Together, we practice using our voices and the ancient ritual of storytelling, sharing our stories of birth, life, and death, and celebrating how both we and they change across time. I hope that soaking in these stories will leave you feeling inspired, connected, and more alive in your own beautiful body and unique life. Today is Friday, March 3rd, 2023. I am sitting in my little small tiny home bedroom. My littles are actually, I put a show on for them in hopes that I can take the time to record this spontaneous episode for you. I've been making some little notes of things that I wanted to share leading up to this next full moon. And even though I have another episode recorded, I felt called to record this new one for you all that I'll share on the full moon, and that other one I will publish another time. I am in Mississippi right now, about half an hour from the coast. My husband had a random day off work a couple days ago, and we got to go as a family to the beach and play in the sand and in the ocean, which felt really nourishing and amazing. It just takes my breath away every time, even though I grew up on a peninsula, so it was like salt water and I knew it was ocean water, but just as I grow older, the the concept of the ocean is just so awe-inspiring for me. I was able to take a moment by myself to walk along the beach, and it wasn't very crowded. It was, you know, the middle of the week and it's not very hot yet, and the sounds of the ocean and the winds were so loud. I was able to just sing freely as I walked along, and I knew nobody could hear me and wouldn't have really cared if they could. The moon and the sun were both sharing the sky at that time. I got to gaze upon the moon and just, like, you know, felt these waves rushing around my ankles, and knowing that it's the moon that pulls the oceans is just, like, that is just so magnificent and wondrous, that without the moon, we wouldn't have these great shifts in tide, that it's magnetic pull. And did you know that the earth also has tides? I think I spoke about this in an earlier episode, but I looked up earth tides because the earth also rises and falls with the pull of the moon. It's just not as, you know, like, you can't like visualize it or see it in the way that you can with the ocean tide. And I had this remembering of when I had this, after I birthed my baby Hartley, I had this beautiful malachite necklace, because malachite is her middle name, that my friend Jessie Jema gave to me. And I had it around my neck and it was, you know, tight. Like, I did not think it would come off in the ocean. And I swam in the ocean with it on. And when I came out, I realized it was gone. It was like a big bulky, I had like a leather, what's it called? Not chain, but It was on a piece of leather and it was gone forever to the ocean, which in some ways was sort of poetic. I was absolutely sad about it. But I have also, sprinkled some of my daughter Hartley's ashes into the ocean. And even though it wasn't in quite the same place, that's so you, as you, soon as you put one drop of water or ashes into the ocean, it becomes the whole ocean. You can't scoop that water back out again. It becomes the whole thing, which covers the whole world. And I love, bringing my attention to these beautiful, magnificent ways that we are all connected as humans that walk this earth. We have had some, I have, so I wrote myself a few little notes, but I'll kind of be riffing off of the notes. And they might not all totally make sense or flow, but this is what I'm going to do. This is what I felt inspired to do. So here I am. You may have heard me talk about this before. I've had a really hard time sorting out our internet. We're now with our third trial of a different internet server here. We're in an RV park, so, but we're in a really rural area, so there's just aren't that many options here. But I have my fingers crossed that this recording will be smooth and not choppy or breaking out or anything like that. So I'm also testing that out before I have a mediumship reading this Sunday and trying to decide if I'm going to use this or use my phone hotspot or if I need to do something else. So anyhow, it's quite challenging, and has also brought me to the awareness I was public trying to publish an episode every week and on the full new moons and the half moons, but I have decided to like, oh, okay, like let's just pull back for a minute. So I'm gonna continue on with my twice a month podcasting for the moment and might come through with some bonus episodes. It's so funny when I put my mind to something, even though I'm like, it's not like I have a boss above me saying, like, you must publish an episode every week, but it's my own internal, like, setting a goal and wanting to keep up with it. But I'm feeling at peace with 2 episodes a month. Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to share. I'm not going to show you all the photo. I have created this little photo space around me in my little work nook. I have my computer on this little tiny bench, not really a bench enough to sit on, but I'm sitting on the floor and I'm able to have my computer right here. And this is where I do my typing right in front of a window, which feels really good. I was feeling a little lonely and melancholy a few weeks ago, and I printed a whole bunch of photos of people that I love. And some of nature and places that I love. There's a photo here of El Camino de Santiago in Spain and the lake that I grew up on and some hiking adventures. And I might share with you some of these photos across time, but I don't have permission of all the people in all of them to share. So I'm not going to share them all right now. But I just I've gotten so much joy and comfort from having them be here in this space. But I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of or seen these little thoughtful cards. These ones, so they have like different themes. This one is Life is Beautiful. This is definitely my favorite theme thus far. And I first learned of these. I first received one when I was working in a hospital in palliative care in Spokane as a registered nurse. And I had, at this point, I knew that my values were not aligning with that system and that way that we, that in the system, the way that humans are treated within the system, treated not just in a medical way, but just like in a human way that we're, given a number and told we have to change out of our regular clothes and put on these gowns that other people have worn and just like the whole culture of it. But I hadn't, I was working towards my exit of the system, but I wasn't there yet. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was feeling, just unsure of how I could become a, free person. without needing that regular income and insurance and all the things that that steady paycheck came with, and building up my side hustle and following still my passions of birth and women and death, and self-exploration. But this is a photo of one of the cards. I don't have the card is actually on a mirror somewhere in our shipping container with our other things. But this was the first card that I received from my boss, and it says, "Be daring, be first, be different." And I obviously held on to this card and just really took that so to heart. It's by Anita Roddick, it says, that quote. And felt like that was really affirming of sort of the woman that I'm growing into right now. Or I feel like it's a, an evolution, and I keep having these small rebirths and continue to embody this woman that I envisioned that many years ago now. Maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, near 5 years ago now. So it feels really beautiful to be here now. And I have not worked in a hospital for almost 3 years now. And that feels really big. And now I'm serving women on their own terms, in their own way, without taking any power away from them, just leading them back to themselves and their own inner knowing. And so I thought, these are the only ones I have left of these ones, but I'm going to draw one of these little cards for us, for me, for you, for this full moon that is coming on Tuesday when I publish this episode. This is the one. Okay, so this is a little card, and you see it has this little perforation, and you just pull it open like this. Let's see if I can read it through here. It says, "Watch the glittering eye, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places," by Roald Dahl. And so then you can just pull off. I love these because you can just pull off this little part, and sometimes I use them in ceremony and give them to people. Let them choose one and then read it in like full moon circles. And in the back, there's a space to write a little message to someone. I'll read this one once more. It says, "Watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places." I can feel the truth in that. And then, as we're in this like pulling phase, I would like to also, I have these cards. They're by Akilah S. Richards. You've heard me speak of her before. She has a podcast and a book, Raising Free People and Fear of the Free Child. And so these books are sort are these cards. They're these beautiful cards with, some different writing, some short, some long on the back. There are these words on one side and then some writing on the back side. And I'm just going to shuffle them here and choose one. But she has just really inspired me into this freedom of the knowing, the remembering that learning happens everywhere all the time. To trust that for myself and for my children, and that helping them to learn to lead a self-directed life. Like I am also learning to lead my own self-directed life. And finding ways of abundance through leading myself and learning myself and learning how to be a free person and less dependent on the system and cultivating a community, which I feel is part of also that freedom. This one keeps coming. Okay, so this is a message to you all that are feeling called to tune in So the word here, the card here is autonomy. I like this. Looks like a compass to me. So this reminds me to feel into my own inner compass and be. I feel like we can look so often for answers outside of ourselves, but I love how this compass is this reminder to turn in. So on the back it says, take up space. Let them take up space too. Practice allowing yourself and them to take up space. Work it until it invites boundaries that work. I'm going to read that one more time. Take up space. Let them take up space too. Practice allowing yourself and them to take up space. Work it until it invites boundaries that work to you, work that work. So for me, what this feels like is, yeah, there's been so much of my life I have been trying to hide and not take up space and not talk too much, even though I've always been like not a talker. I know this podcast is a way step outside of my comfort zone, especially to do these solo episodes where it's just me trying to talk for, half an hour to an hour. And this reminder that it's also okay for my kids to take up space and allowing them also to take up space in ways that I maybe feel uncomfortable with. And I love the work it until it invites boundaries that work. I love this remembering that we're always reworking our boundaries. We're reestablishing. It's a practice, and things shift and change over time. So let this be a reminder to you to take up space and to adjust your boundaries as you need with the people around you, and allow them also to take up space too. Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I have so many little fun things. So if you're not watching on YouTube, like, you're not going to get to see a lot of this. So if you want to like see these images that I'm sharing, you're going to have to go over there. I'll have a link in the show notes. So I have been thinking about my grandmother, Elsie. She's my maternal grandmother. She is dead now. She died just maybe 4 years ago now. Yeah, about 4 years ago. And her birthday's in January, so I'm often thinking of her as January approaches. And she lived into her 90s. She's this beautiful soul. She actually her so she was born on the 9th, and the next day her mother died, the woman who birthed her. It was so excited to have her be born. She was 34 years old when she birthed my grandmother, Elsie, and her name was actually also Elsie. Apparently she was born Elsa, but then changed her name to Elsie. And then when she died after birthing my grandmother, they gave her mother's name, Elsie Frances. So, what do I want to share about her? Well, I didn't know for years whether her mother died like immediately, like the same day she was born. But no, she actually died the next day. And my grandmother Elsie, I was just looking at the like certificate last night that she was actually born at like 9:50 in the morning or something like this. And I was born at 9:46 in the morning, so I was feeling that connection of that time of arrival earthside. And then her mother died the next day, so I know that her mother at least had some time with her. There's no one that I know that like really knows what happened at that time, but she, because her dad was in the military and it was this, season of the culture in America, she actually went, they sent her to go live with her mother's sister, and she was raised by her biological aunt in their family. And I just can't even imagine what that wound would have been like as this, infant being born. And oh, I hear my daughter. Let's see if my son helps her or if I need to go help her. Um, Hold on, I'm gonna pause the recording here. All right, she was just asking for water, and as I like opened the door to go help her, she said, "Oh, I can get water." She's gonna turn 3 later this month, and it's fun that she's becoming more independent in these ways, and yeah, that she can get water herself. So yes, Elsie, I just when I was younger, I really wanted a deeper relationship with her. And at that moment in time, she wasn't in the space to cultivate a relationship with me, which I remember being kind of sad about. She said she was too busy. But there was a time when I was older, when I lived across the street from her in my 20s. And I loved that, getting to see her more often and bring my little dog to visit her and things. But I recently found and yeah, printed this old photo of her, and even though it's like botched in the middle, but I love just kind of how silly and joyful she looks in this image from her young days. I believe she was still a maiden at this time. And this is her and I on my wedding day. So you can see her. She was in her 90s here now. But I just, oh, love her. She's been coming through a lot in my practice readings, through the medium that I'm practicing with, which has been really beautiful and fun. Okay, so yes, for me, since I was 26 years old, so no, I was 25 years old. Oh my gosh. So for 15 years now, since Bjorn's death when I was 25 and he was 26, there's a whole episode about it. If you want to know more details, I'm going to talk about it a little bit here. But there's been this sort of turning inward, this grief that happens. It shifts, it definitely has shifted and changed across the year. The depths of it is not what it was in those first few years. But his birthday was November 2nd, and so I think of him then, and then my birthday is on the 20th. And so I like to celebrate him on his birthday, and then also I think about my former self in that time when we knew that he was making the choice not to fight the next infection, that he was welcoming his death, and we didn't know when it might come. And he made it into January, and then he died on January 19th. But I haven't I don't think shared photos here, so I just wanted to share a few photos. I think I have them sort of in order from when they were, but I just thought that might be kind of fun because he just comes into my awareness, and he actually hadn't showed up in a reading in a while. So in one of the practice readings I had, I asked if she would be comfortable with seeing if she could, what we call it, go direct, or if I could ask for him by name and what messages she might bring through. And she was able to connect with him and brought through some just beautiful, completely on point messages that I really were such a gift to hear from him. So yes, Bjorn Anders. So this person I'm going to show you is like, so I lived in a house with one of my best friends, Karen, and then there were six other guys. I think there was eight of us there, so two girls and these six guys, and Bjorn was one of them. Actually, this one. So here he's like drinking at a house party that we had some friends in a band, and they were playing in our living room. I actually think this might have been from the year before. This image was like me and him, like freshman year of college. Oh, we're so young. And this image is from when we were in the house there. At first, we were in apartments across the hall from each other, like during this time. That's how we met. We lived in apartments across from one another. It was totally like friends. Like, people teased us that it was so much like friends. We'd leave our doors unlocked. We were like back and forth through the apartments all the time, hanging out. being together. It was three guys on one side and then two of us on the other side. But then we had this blonde friend that was always visiting, sort of like the Phoebe. It was just so fun. And then, yeah, this one is me and him there, different, hairstyles. So funny to look back at myself in my late teen years. And then this image was one at a wedding. This is after he had been diagnosed and been through some treatment. So you'll see there's like this, some stains on it, but his face, you can see, is kind of swollen and he has his head shaved, but had been growing some facial hair back. Ah, Bjorn. And then this one too was the summer before he died, and we were at this concert in the Seattle area. So yeah, I just he always circles back around in the season of winter, and this has been sort of a strange winter for me here in Mississippi because it's been so warm and sunny. Like, I mean, it's sunny in Spokane, but not warm like this. I'm used to like the cold and the snow and being inside and having to really bundle up to go outside. So this has just been a very different experience of winter for me. I wish I would have looked at the time before I started recording, so I have no idea how many minutes I've been talking, but whatever. All right, so I know I've talked about this a bit, my mediumship development. So I should share my philosophy with you at some point. And so right now I'm in Danielle Serenc. She has a co podcast called Spirit School. She has this initiation program, Initiation 1.0, and then she's doing a beta of Initiation 2.0, and that's what I'm in right now. I was gifted this initiation experience by one of my dear friends, and I'm super grateful to be taking part in it. And it is, whoo, it is stretching me. It is, I'm definitely at like my edges. I am so, yeah, doing things scared. And yet, because I have been doing things scared for a couple of years now with this podcast, scares me every time. Every time I do a solo, every time I do an interview, every time I interview on someone else's podcast, every time I press publish and know that, like, what I'm sharing today and what my truth is today, like that can shift and change over time. Yet someone could listen to this years later and be judging me based on what I say right now. And or I might say the wrong thing, or I know I've said things that could be offensive to people. And oh, there's just so many layers to it all, and feeling afraid to be seen and heard and taking up space. So this Initiation 2.0 has been big for me. By the way, there's also a podcast episode with Danielle a few episodes back. I'll try to remember to link it in the show notes too. I'm a one-woman show, so I'm like doing all the organizing and show notes and all the things. So, and I'm a mompreneur, obviously. I've got my kids here. So if I ever forget something, just please, have grace for me. And you're welcome to send me an email and ask for a link or something. But in this 2.0, part of the expansion has been us preparing to do demonstrations. So I didn't even know what a demonstration was. Like, honestly, Danielle has given me so much language for like my first experience, like my real initiation into death and like mediumship and communicating with those that are no longer in physical bodies was when Bjorn died. I witnessed his last breath. I witnessed his, soul exit his body. And yet I could feel his presence. His body was no longer animate, no longer breathing. It's amazing how the breath, like we so forget the breath. Like it's breathing. We do it all the time without even thinking about it. But without breath, we would not be living. And that is just so incredible. So for me, it was after he died and having these experiences and knowings and these messages from him through, clairknowing, clairaudient, clairsentient, these different clairs that I didn't have language for until the last couple of years, that I received these messages from him and knew that I could feel his presence and receive little signs. But it has been through this time with Danielle that she's really given me the language and the practices of developing and practicing my mediumship abilities and my psychic abilities. And, the only kind of like with like birth and death and sex. And I find mediumship, like you can't really know until you try it. Like someone can explain until they're blue in the face what sex is going to be like, what love making will be like. But until you experience, and those can be two different things, sex and love making, penetrative sex and making love with someone can be one and the same, but they can also be two very different experiences. But you just can't know until you know, and you can't improve or can't, like, you have to have the experience to then, how can I say this? I'm not even sure if I can finish that sentence. I can't finish that sentence. I don't know. But I know that these things, you can't really know what it is until you experience it. So I don't really know what death is, but I have gotten close by being with people when they take their last breath and nearing their end of their lives. I have birthed my own babies, so I do know what that is like. But even though I attended many births, I didn't know what that was going to feel like in my own body until I actually did. And even though I'd heard lots of stories and witnessed it so many times, I didn't know birth until I birthed myself. Same with mediumship. She's like, I can tell you about it until I'm blue in the face. I can tell you lots of experiential stories, do this experiential teaching, but until you actually try it out, like you won't know. So a lot of the practicing has been moving towards doing a demonstration. So I am doing a demonstration later this month on March 23rd. There's still a few spots open. For the demonstration, it's a free event, and I am going to be practicing with these two other beautiful women, Amanda and Leilani, that are also in the Initiation 2.0. And so it'll be the three of us that we're putting on this free demonstration so that we can practice these skills. So you're welcome to register for the event if there's still spots open when you're listening to this. Would love to see you there. It's going to be an afternoon commune with spirit. And if you don't know what a demonstration is, it's a group event where there's, a group of people and then, one or multiple mediums that are then reading for the group of sitters. And not everyone will get a reading because we're doing what we call it cast a net, where we're receiving information from the spirits that come to speak to each of us, which might be different than each the three of us. And we also just like artists are different, the way that we experience our mediumship abilities, the way we receive messages from spirit are different from one another, and the way that we express, because we just have different language, have grown up in different ways, the way that we express our mediumship towards the sitter is also unique and different. And I love that this Danielle teaches in this way too, of honoring our differences. So, like I was saying, not everyone will receive a direct message, yet people, even in this type of demonstration space, some people just go to a demonstration, and even though a message was being said for someone else, that provides some healing to their own lives and to themselves. So that is the experience that is possible. I'll link some more, abilities in the show notes. A bigger description there if you're curious about it, and a link to the registration page. And if it's sold out, I apologize, but I hope to maybe see a few of you there. And she practices Danielle Serenc. I can't say enough about her. We were born in the same year, which is pretty fun. She's an Indigenous woman that lives in Squamish, BC, and she just really encourages us to explore the unique ways that spirit works within us, and to also encourage us to try things out. And you don't know until you try. So here we are. We're trying what it feels like to do a demonstration, and maybe we will do them more. Maybe I'll never want to do another one. Who knows? So Yes. Practicing teaching through a being. I feel like that is like the big job of me as a mother, like me showing them what like nutrition, moving my body, the way that I speak to other people, and also encouraging them to be their selves. Like we're not robots, we're not all the same, and I don't want us to be all the same. The woman that I work with, my children, like just the way that we are. Oh, I forgot to grab. Oh well, it's okay. Maybe another time. I have been having a little harder time here. There isn't as much access to quality food down here, which has been interesting. I'm used to being in Washington State, where the quality of produce and things that I'm able to get in the normal grocery stores is just higher. Like half of the food on the shelves in the grocery store here is rotting or on its way to rotting. So that's been a bit of a struggle here. But and cooking in a tiny kitchen, like I can't cook a whole chicken in the oven. I can't bake my own bread the way that I'm used to. But it's okay. It's also helped me to simplify things, reading lots of eggs and other things like that. And that's okay. I wanted to share. I don't know if any of you have ever used what you use for your bleeding time. So for me, I've tried many different things for my blood. When I first started bleeding, I used tampons right away. I have tried using pads at times, but they just were, I don't know, it was not ever very comfortable for me, pads. I have even used cloth ones. Again, not super comfortable. I use cloth ones like postpartum, but not otherwise. And I had a Diva cup for a long time because that I thought that was, like more environmental or maybe better. I tend to have kind of a pretty heavy flow for a couple of days, and even the super tampons or super plus ones, I would need to change out like every hour or so, when my bleed was really heavy. And I had heard people speak about sea sponges for bleeding, and I'd never used them. I'd thought about it a few times. Well, I was getting to the end of my organic tampons. By the way, I feel like this is really important. Cotton, organic cotton, like, especially if you would like to have babies, even if you don't, like your mucous membranes soak things in. And if you're using highly treated cotton inside of yourself, like you're poisoning your most sacred space. So I encourage you to invest in something different. So yeah, the Diva cup, it was just never really that comfortable to me either, and it would leak, and yeah, just never that comfortable. So I threw that away eventually, and I just recently got some of these sea sponges, and I got several different sizes, and I used them for my last bleed a few weeks ago. And I wish I would have changed to these sooner. They are so much more comfortable than tampons. Like tampons are so, like if I'm using one that's maybe too more absorbent on my lighter days, and it would just feel so like dry and clunky and just would be uncomfortable in there because it's like this solid, harder chunk of fabric. But the sponge, you get it a little wet and you wring it out, and it's like this just beautiful, soft sponge. And inserting it was not, that much different than like the Diva cup is, and pulling it out the same. And you can just rinse it out and reinsert it and just clean it between your cycles with a little vinegar or hydrogen peroxide. And I just, yeah, if you've never heard of that, I highly encourage you to try because, oh my gosh, they didn't leak in the way that tampons have for me. I know I've only done one cycle with them, but so far, like a big thumbs up. Like it took a little bit to like figure out how to orient it inside my body in a way that it, like kept it the most comfortable, and also to soak up the most so that there wouldn't be leaks. But like, oh, I felt like I could move differently. with a sponge than I could with tampons. Anyway, I have a question for you all who are listening. Do you know, can I? So, what I don't know is a lot of copyright stuff. Like, I would love to do a YouTube live every couple of weeks or every week. Like, I love dancing. Okay. Dancing is one of my, like, I've loved doing it my whole life. And I just, it brings so much life to my soul. I would love to start like a YouTube live with music playing, but I think I don't know what I need to do to be able to do that. Like, do I have to buy the song from each artist? Like the rights to the song? Does anyone know? Can anyone tell me? I tried to look it up, but I can't tell. I've seen other YouTubers having like music on in the background and they don't like say who it is. I feel like maybe that's not technically okay. I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to know if you know. Yes. Oh, yes. So it's so interesting when I tell people that I'm, like I support women in like their birthing portal or during their birthing time or in pregnancy, there's little understanding that that also means that I am potentially supporting a woman through like a death portal. And this just, happens. I have clients sometimes that contact me and we start working together, and then their baby dies and they have an early birth. And it just goes to this like remembering that birth and death are so intertwined and that without one, we can't have the other. They come together. And I am just so aware that I'm, walking towards my own death at some point, and we all are. And that if we just focus on birth and only seeing that as good and not understanding, conceptualizing the way that death is also good. Like, if we all lived forever, like, what would happen to the planet? Like, it just wouldn't work. And just remembering that if you're considering supporting women in pregnancy and in birth, remember that you also might have to support them and face death with them too. So it's not all bells and roses all the time. There's grief, there's death. And it's oftentimes, most of the time, very unexpected. So if you have had a loss yourself, just know that right now, I'm thinking of you and sending you some extra love, remembering the soul or multiple souls that you have held in your womb before that perhaps never took a breath. Or only took a few breaths. Know that I'm remembering them with you now and sending you love, and remember that they're with you and that you can talk to them and communicate with them. Okay, so I think I'm feeling like I'm drawing towards a close. I think I mentioned this book before, but I have the written copy in front of me, which Unleashed, Untamed, Unapologetic. So all of these things are things like, okay, the word witch, like I have been fearful of this word for some time and like feeling like if I claim this word or say this word or identify as this witch, that I will be, that people won't like me or they'll be afraid of me or anything like that. Lots of things like that. This unleashed, untamed, unapologetic. Like, this is never, no. Like, I'm definitely, I mean, there is some wild in me and has been, but I mean, less, there's been more and more of this. But these three words, like 10 years ago, I would have a hard time embracing them. And now I'm definitely leaning into embracing them. So I would like to read this couple of pages to you. From this book. She says, "Welcome to the rewilding. I'm on page 231." Starts with a quote from Natozaki Change. Notozakeshange. Where there is woman, there is magic. So this is Lisa Lister. She's talking about her online business. She says, "One of my first online businesses was as the sassy sorceress. I made natural perfumes with crystals and essential oils and charged them under the moon. These essences had names like charmed and dangerous. And they came with spells and an incantation. I also did online tarot readings and ran imaginatively titled How to Learn the Tarot Witch Classes. I had no idea at the time of the potency of the title I'd given myself. Sassy stands for spiritual, authentic, sensual, sensational you, an acronym." She says, "I love an acronym. And it's still very much at the core of everything I do and share. But sorceress? I'll be honest, that was a role I was trying out for size. At the time, I'd just come out of an 8-year relationship where I wasn't supported, respected, or honored, and I wanted to experience being the sorceress instead. The stereotype version, the Angelina Jolie version, the dark and dangerous version, the sexy, wild, someone who'd steal your partner in a heartbeat version. You know, I know now that that version was warped, outdated, and part of an old paradigm. But by taking the name sorceress, I met her in the same way as you do when you take on the word witch. Eye to eye, boobs to boobs, womb to womb, truth to truth. I'd felt her powers before. Hell yes, I'd felt them. I'm a Scorpio, of course I'd felt them. Sometimes they'd even spilled over, and I dared to use them. Like that time I took a trip to Paris with my BFF. And we kissed pretty men after having read too much Anais Nin. FYI, you can never read too much Anais Nin. And after the 8-year relationship ended, I decided I'd no longer seek a husband. I take lovers instead, lots of lovers. But as I experimented with seduction and allure, pleasure and desire, I was called out. I was slapped, literally on occasions. Back into line for daring to explore and meet my needs and desires on my terms. Patriarchy, on witnessing at the opening of Pandora's box, wanted me to shut the lid and my legs and remain tame and compliant. But Pandora literally means giver of all gifts, and when you meet the sorceress, she dares you to open Pandora's box and your legs. Because she knows that is where its powers lie. It's where your power lies. Yep, your power lies between your thighs. And when you connect with your lady landscape, your womb, your vulva, your clitoris, your ovaries, and does your desire and pleasure, you realize that the traits you'd been taught were quote unquote wrong and quote unquote unacceptable for a good girl like you, quote unquote. Are all the gifts to help you reclaim your power, authority, and wholeness. So, yes, the sorceress has the ability to change situations and, quote unquote, manipulate. She is an alchemist. She's the mother who turns tears into laughter with reassuring kiss, the friend who turns fear into ease with her words, the activist who changes thoughts into action. Yes, she can use her power to serve herself. She knows that when she serves herself, she's full and whole and able to serve she and the world. Yes, she gets angry and rageful and wild. She knows that holding it in and pushing it down serves no one, least of all herself. Yes, she's comfortable in the dark. She knows it's the only way to truly serve the light. Yes, she's sexy, alluring, and able to seduce. She's a woman, and it's her bloody prerogative to be. And guess what? You are she, and she is you. She asks, no, in fact, she demands that you claim these as gifts instead of seeing them as the curses and evil and dangers that you've been taught that they are. And she demands that you claim them completely, unapologetically. Who is the sorceress? There's a new version of the sorceress. It's actually the ancient version from BP, before patriarchy. Before the media recreated her in a way that made us all fear her. Sound familiar? She represents you owning every single part of yourself. The so-called good and the bad, the dark and the light. And she represents using all of it to make sure you leave your footprints and pussy print, your legacy and your messy imperfections as a beautiful, deep, long-lasting impression of what it is to be a woman in her power on this planet. The sorceress, with a heavy emphasis on the word source, is your reminder that you are source. Whew. I think I'm gonna stop there. I'm gonna read that last sentence again. The sorceress, with a heavy emphasis on the word source, is your reminder that you are source. Like, how beautiful and powerful is that? Like, I mean, I had to listen to this a few times, and it just reminded me just how true that is as women here, that we are source. You know what? I'm going to read on just a little bit longer because there is one more section that I just love. She says, this isn't something that you have to go out searching for, despite what you've been led to believe. Source is actually something you already are. It's something you can access at any given moment, and it's something you can use to transform, alchemize, and integrate teachings, learnings, darkness, and experiences. This is the big, giant, humongous, essential, totally freaking necessary piece that patriarchy has been trying to keep from us. That we can totally transmute and alchemize experiences. We can change them up, get all Kali Ma on their asses. That our true, wild, and seemingly uncontrollable nature, it's only uncontrollable to dude kind. We, on the other hand, just need a little practice to remember how to work with it, can experience, handle, and be with it all. The sorceress, me and you, is the container for potent and powerful alchemy. This is a force that we've been taught to fear instead of revere. We want to be sexy and feel confident and powerful. Yet we don't want to be too sexy. We don't want people to think that we're sluts. And by slut, I mean any woman who enjoys sex more than the man calling her it does. We don't want to be so confident that we come off as arrogant or a diva. We don't want to be so powerful that we offend someone, or, and this is the trickiest of them all, end up with more power than we can handle. Which you can handle it. All of it, I promise. Come into your body. Rewilding the sorceress. Take a deep breath in through your nose and deep into your core, into your womb space. Breathe into your cauldron, your pelvis, and fill everything it holds with prana or life force. Yes, this is a place of manifesting and creation, but more importantly, it's home to your powerful source. And if you're not connected to that, process of rewilding and reclamation as a sorceress will rip you from your roots. FYI, speak from experience. So, witch, root down, come in into your body, right down to your roots, and breathe into them. Allow the fire, anger, and passion you desire that you've been holding back and pushing down and medicating to avoid to be there. It's been ignored for far too long. She's been ignored for far too long. You no longer need to be afraid of it. Feel this truth in your very center. Taste it, smell it, journal it, move with it, cry with it, and tend to it. The sorceress is rewilding. It's a return to our core wildness. It's a return to our true nature. It's a return to the essence of who all witches are behind all the bullshit stories we believe about ourselves because we've been told they're true. And she goes on, I don't know about you, but like, woo, yes, I feel so much of this. I have been, it's like I've just acquired this book recently, but I have been leaning into so many of these practices that she's referencing in rewilding myself, in remembering. in re-knowing that I am source and that I have power within, just like you have power within, and remembering that you're worthy and that you are capable of holding the different levels of power that maybe you're not comfortable with and that you haven't held before. So I just, yes, this book again is called Witched Untamed, Unleashed, Unapologetic, Unleashed, Untamed, Unapologetic by Lisa Lister. And it is just an incredible, beautiful book, and remembering to return to yourself and your knowing and your ways. And this is the same, her message in this book is also the same message that like I have on my website, and the same philosophy as I work with women. Like, what is right for me is not necessarily what's right for you. The birth that I would choose for myself, the songs that I would want there, the people that I would want there, the space that I would create is the space that I would create for me. But you are the artist. You have the paintbrush for your own life. And so what I do is mirror back to women what they share with me and help them to remember that they are creating their own life and their experience, and that they have the power to shift and change it and make it what they want it. And I can remind them of different and teach them different tools and possibilities and ways of practicing and trying out some of these things that they have forgotten or that they haven't, attempted before. But I don't have your answers. You have the answers of you within you. And what you need is not the same as what I need. What you want is different than what I want. Knowing what you want is like, that's the start. Because if you don't even know what you want, then how are you going to get there? So I just invite you to start, if you are not already living in this way of knowing what you want in life and moving towards that and taking the little steps that it takes to get there, then this is me encouraging you to start that. So thank you for being with me here, and for tuning in today to the heart. I can't talk. I'm like, okay. Thank you for tuning in today to the heart of the soul. If you would like to work with me one-on-one or have a mediumship reading, check out my website, birthingnova.love. If you would like to attend, if it's before March 23rd and there are still spots available and you want to attend the demonstration that I'm doing with two other incredible, beautiful souls as we practice doing demonstration, you can follow the link in the show notes below. And I just hope that you all are having a beautiful full moon or March or whenever it is you're listening to this. And remember to be brave, be bold, be wild, be love, be you, and be the change that you wish to see for the future and for the generations to come. Love, love, love everyone.